Shavua Tov. We're on the last line of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Omer Rav Acha Bar Abba Omer Rav Yochanan. Now we start the daf for today, Kuf Yud Dalid. Minayin L'Shinui B'Godim Min HaTorah. The Gemara discussed the mitzvah of Kibud Shabbos and requires that you wear special clothes for Shabbos. The Gemara now is extrapolating in a more broad sense. How do we know that the Torah puts emphasis on appropriate dress? Shenemar. In the parasha of Avodas Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen Gadol at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and not only Kohen Gadol, but even a Kohen Hedjot, in the mitzvah of what's called Hotzas HaDeshen, that on a daily basis, the Kohen would have to go to the Mizbeach, and he would clear off the ashes that were left from the Karbonos that were burnt on the Mizbeach the day before. And the Torah requires Uposhad es Bugadov Lavash Bugadim Achirim. He has to put on special garments in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshen and Hotzas HaDeshen, to take out the ashes. V'tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, this is explained by the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael, Limdecha Torah derech Eretz, Begodim shebishel bahem kedera l'rabo, al yimzog bahem kos l'rabo. He should not be wearing the same begodim that he wears to cook food for his master as he does for pouring wine for his master. When the servant cooks food, his clothes get full of a smell from the food. That's not proper when he comes to pour the wine for his master. And this is all a metaphor for the two categories of avoda of the Kohen. One category is called Trumas HaDeshen, when he takes out the ashes from the Mizbeach, and that's parallel to cooking and the like, because it's a more menial kind of avoda. It's not the avoda of Haktor al Gabi Mizbeach or Nisuch Hayayin al Gabi Mizbeach. So therefore, when he does the Dishun and the Haromas HaDeshen and Hotzas HaDeshen, all that should be done with special begodim. And then when the Kohen is ready for the real Avoda, the high class Avoda, in front of the Melech Malchei Amlochim, he should be wearing his regular big day kahuna. Om Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan Gnayhu Talmud Chochem Sheyetze Min Olim Hametuloim Lashuk. We mentioned in the past, I'll reiterate, that in those days buying shoes was a whole to-do. And very often a shoe would get ripped and they would put a patch on top of the shoe. And sometimes they would even put a patch on the patch if the first patch wasn't sufficient. And Rabbi Yochanan talks about gnayhu l'talmidei chachamim. You know, something is a gnay relative to your station in life, because if you're on a higher echelon, people look up to you, you should be presentable. Again, this is another reflection of what we spoke about before in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that a person should be very careful about the way they present themselves, both on Shabbos and in the case of a Talmud Chacham during the week. It's disgraceful if a Talmud Chacham walks around and he's got these shabby shoes full of patches. So the Gemara asks Akasha, V'ho Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Nofik. Rabbi Acha was a poor Talmud Chacham. He didn't have money to buy new shoes. He walked around with patched shoes, and that wasn't appropriate. So how do we reconcile that with this statement of Rabbi Yochanan? Omer Rav Acha Bered Rav Nachmit Tlai Al Gabi Tlai. If there's only one patch because you have some sort of tear on your shoe, as we say, Nishkeferlach, that's not so terrible. It's not so disgraceful, and it's not that much of a gnai. And that was Rav Acha's situation. and people let him get away with it. They understood that he couldn't afford necessarily a new pair of shoes. But if you have a patch on top of a patch, that's a tlai al gabi tlai, that's already really below standard, and that's not something that's acceptable. Even in the case of a poor person, but he's a Talmud Chacham, and he has to be very careful. The Rambam dedicates an entire halacha about Chacham being nikar. In many ways, he should be different than Shar Ha'am, in the way he speaks, in the way he interacts, and in Balbusho, in the way he dresses. V'yomer Rab Chiya bar Abam Rab Yochanan kol Talmud Chacham shenimtza revav al bgado al bigdo chayev misa. And the Gemara is using very harsh, almost a hyperbole kind of language here about a Talmud Chacham who has a stain on his garment, if the stain is very obvious. And there's going to be a girsa problem, a question in the text, whether it says, as we have it, revav, or we're going to have another word, which is very similar, but is even more harsh. So we'll wait for that for just a moment. Anyway, a revav is some sort of a stain. Perhaps when he ate, he had some sort of food stain. And the Gemara now quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, kol misanai avu moves. And the word misanai is in the causative, which means al tikri misanai elamasnie. Masnie means you cause others to hate you. And in this case of the Torah scholar, who represents Kovod HaTorah, represents the glory of the Torah, and he caused people to hate him because look how disgusting he looks. He's a kesem al bigdo. In this case, he's got a revav on his garment, so that people lose respect for him. And that, in effect, is going to undermine the respect for a Talmud Chacham if his clothes are soiled with stains. And you'll see the Gemara is going to now actually create a hierarchy of what kind of stains are unacceptable. There are different levels of stains, just like we saw in the case of shoes that had patches on it. Ravina Omar, Ravina has a different girsa in the transition here. We have the word revav in our girsa. Ravina had a girsa revad, so it means the last letter instead of a beis was a dalid, and revad has a specific meaning. Rashi identifies it as he has some sort of seminal emission of semen and it got caught on his garment. And v'lo pligi, we don't have to set up a machlokas here. Ha beglime ha belevusha. On the one hand, when you talk about the garment that is apparent to others, that's called glima. And then levusha indicates the garment that's underneath, that's not necessarily visible. When it comes to the upper visible garment, then even a stain is something unacceptable. When it comes to the undergarment, let's say, for example, it's not so evident in the public, unless he takes off his outer cloak and he's wearing a shirt that has semen on it, but if he sends it to the laundry, it's somewhat repulsive, disgusting, and therefore he has to be careful about that. V'yomer Rab Chiya bar Abam Rab Yochanan mai dechsiv. What does the pasuk mean in Yeshayahu Anovi? Kasher halach avdi Yeshayahu arom v'yachef. It seems to indicate that Yeshayahu Anovi is walking around barefoot and naked, if we take this literally. And this cannot be understood. I mean, obviously, Yeshayahu HaNovi represents Klal Yisrael. How could he go around like this? So the Gemara says, Arum bibgadim bluim. And we'll see about his nevuah, but in the context of a mandate that he got in prophecy, he had to walk around for a three-year period of time with garments that were worn out, were disintegrated. V'yachef. And what does it mean? He walked around barefoot, b'menalim hametulayim, He walked around with shoes that had these patches on them. So the question is, you know, how do we justify such a thing? After all, Talmid Chacham should not walk around with patched shoes. And the answer is that he had a special tzivui, a special nevuah. So I'm going to read to you a note over here that I have about the nevuah of Yeshayahu HaNavi. He says the following. Where is it now? In any event, there was a nevuah about the destruction that God was going to bring about to Mitzrayim. As a... here it is. Hashem tzivas Yeshayahu liftoach hasak me'al mosnov lachlotz n'olav me'al raglov alechas arum v'yachef la'osu l'mofes al Mitzrayim. So this was a way of foretelling what's going to happen to Mitzrayim, the destruction of Mitzrayim, and also of Cush. And Melech Ashur Yinhag es Shevi Mitzrayim ves Golus Cush Ne'orim Uzkenim Aruim V'yechefim. So again, this was all a period of 3 years of time, and this was a way in which Yeshayahu HaNavi was, in a sense, acting out the nevuah that's going to take place with regard to both Mitzrayim and Cush. Tanan Hasan. Okay, now we have a Mishnah in Masechta Mikvos. Now the subject of the Mishnah in Masechta Mikvos is also begadim and also stains, and we have a concept called chatzitza. And the law of chatzitza is that when a person tries to put something into the mikvah, but he has a wedge or some separation, a barrier, and in this case we're talking about tefilas kelim, he had a keli that was makabel tumah, now he has to put it into the mikvah. And the question is, what if they're stains? Are those stains considered a chatzitza? And it all depends whether, the rule is, it depends whether or not there's kpeda. If it's a stain of significance that most people would want to certainly get rid of, then it serves as a chatzitza, and it invalidates the tefillah in the mikvah. So the Mishnah Mikvos says the following, Revav al hamardea chotzeitz. We spoke in the past about the fact that there's an ukaf, which is a saddle, and then there's a cloth that was placed directly on the skin, on the back of the animal, the donkey, in order to separate it from the saddle, so it shouldn't be irritated by the saddle. And now, the saddle cloth received was makabel tumah, and it has a stain on it. And now he has to put the mardea, the mardas, into the mikvah. And the Mishnah establishes chotzeitz, that this is a chatzitza that undermines the tefillah and disqualifies it. Why? Because even if it's a small stain, then the rider, the horse rider, in this case the donkey rider, is makbid. He doesn't want to see that stain. He wants the saddle cloth to be clean. That's according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he has a different shita. He says, with regard to Revav al Mardea, if there's a stain on the saddle cloth, it's not necessarily, the smallest stain is not going to be something that's a chatzitza that he's makbid about, but unless it gets really out of hand. And it gets the size of Be'isar Haitalki, the size of a coin, which is called Arba Gargire Siora. It's the size of four kernels of barley. If it's a smaller stain, then most people, even the rider, would not be makbid, and therefore it's not chotzeitz. Now the Mishnah goes ahead, leaving out the saddle cloth, and wants to know what's the parallel case in a garment that's worn by a human being. Al abgadim, what determines whether or not he's makbid and it's a chatzitza in the case of a stain on his garment? If it's mitzad echad, if it's only on one side of his beged, eino chotzeitz, that's not considered a chatzitza. But if it's mishnei tzadim, which means that the grease or whatever the stain is penetrates from one side of the beged to the other, you can see it on both sides, chotzeitz. According to the Tanakhama, the first Tana, that's what we're learning now, that itself is a chatzitza when it goes through and penetrates from side to side. If on the other hand you can only see it on one side, that's just a light stain and it's not a chatzitza. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shem Rabbi Shmuel, af mitzad echad chotzeitz, when it comes to a human being and he's wearing clothes, even if he has a stain that can be seen on one side of the beged, that itself is kpeda, people are makbin, and therefore it is a chatzitza. Boy mine, the same question came up, Rabbi Shimben Lokish Meir Rabbi Chanina, and he was asking, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if a kesem, even if it's only on one side, a stain is considered a chatzitza and is kpeda. So let's go back to the case of Mardas. In the case of the saddlecloth, it says that a stain on the saddlecloth is a chatzitza, he's makvid, the rider is makvid. Is it tzad echad, even in the case where it's only visible on one side? Or shall we say, at least in the case of the saddlecloth, as opposed to the case of Rabbi Yehuda in a human garment, in a person's garment, is mishnei tzadim. Here it has to be, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, a stain that penetrates all the way through. Omale, so Rabbi Chanina responds to Reish Lakish, Zulo shamati, I never heard your question exactly, but kayotzi ba shamati, I heard a question that's absolutely parallel. And therefore, if we get the answer to that question, then logically we'll be able to derive the conclusion to your question. This non. We learned in that very same Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi was the one who disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, and his opinion was Omer, Shel Banoim Mitzad Echad V'Shel Bur Mishnei Tzadim. The Tanakam, if you recall, had made a distinction between a stain on one side, which they're not makpid about, and it's not a chatzitza, as opposed to a stain straight through. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, said even a stain on one side is also, in the case of a human garment, a chatzitza, people are makpid. Comes along Rabbi Yossi with a pshara, a kind of compromise. And he says we have to divide up the public into two groups. There's the Banoim group, and we'll see what that refers to. And then there's the Boor. The boor is an ignoramus, meaning he's not from the upper echelon of the intellectual elite, you know, he's not a scholar in any sense. And the difference is as follows. If you're talking about a boor is not so careful about the way he dresses, and if the stain is only visible on one side, he's not makpid. The banoim, which literally means the builders, and those are the people who apparently are scholars, they are more careful about the way they dress and the way they appear, and they'll be makbid even on a stain that's only on one side. That's the pshara of Rabbi Yossi. Comes along Rabbi Chanina, and he makes an analogy, and he says the following, Lo tehei mardas chashuvim bigdo shel ha'aretz. We should compare the mardas, the saddlecloth, to the garment of an ignoramus. I mean, the mardas is only really to cover the animal. So if in the case of a human being, it's not a chatzitza unless it penetrates through and through both sides, then certainly the same thing should apply to merdas. The Gemara now asks, my banoim, what is the use of the word banoim here, builders? That Rabbi Yossi mentioned, on Rabbi Yochanan, elu talmidei chachamim. These are the scholars. And why are they called builders? That their dedication to Torah scholarship and learning makes them into builders. The Pasuk says, "In lo brisi yomim v'layla chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti," that the entire universe depends upon Torah learning, and al shloshet dvarim haolam omed, haTorah, etc. Torah keeps up the world. In fact, I think I mentioned to you once or twice that in Volozhin, they used to have the Beis Medrash active 24/7. They took rotation because this is keeping the world up. So the Talmidei Chachamim are called Banoim, meaning builders. I mean, don't tell this to the Kablanim. They think they have exclusive monopoly on that category. But the Talmidei Chachamim are the real builders, and they are building and keeping up the world, Kol Yomeihem, all their days. And they have to be very careful and makpin on their dress. And therefore, even if there's a kesem, a stain, that can only be seen on one side, it's not visible on the other side, nevertheless, it is a chatzitza. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Talmud Chochesh Machzirin Lo Aveda B'tfiyas Ayin. Now, if you learn a little bit of Eilu Mitzias, which we did in our childhood, you'll find that although the Torah in general, in order for someone to claim ownership on an object that was found by somebody, he has to prove it by giving a simon, some distinguishing mark, but in the case of a Talmud Chacham, we don't believe that he's lying. And even if he can't give a simon, if he recognizes it and he says, that's mine, that's called Tvias Ayin, with his eye he recognizes it, then we give him back the Aveda. Which Talmud Chacham, says Rabbi Yochanan, is on that level that we have absolute trust in him? Interesting. The criterion, the barometer, is going to be someone who, if he accidentally put his garment on upside down, and the difference was that if it was upside down you could see the seams and it wasn't so beautiful, he would be makpid to take it off and put it on right side up. That's how serious he has to be about the way he presents himself, that people shouldn't see it in the other way around when it's hafuch. And they'll see the tefiros, you know, the way it was sewn up. And that's maguna, that's a gnai. So that's this. I mean, again, you could always ask Rabbi Yochanan, does he mean this literally? Anybody could be makvid and say, well, I would turn it right side up instead of upside down. Does that make me a great scholar? I don't know. But in general, he's trying to give you a sort of a parallel on this level. Who deserves to be elected as a leader of his community? It seems that there was a collection of brises which was not popular. It was kind of left for the great scholars, and that's called Masechta Kala. And it deals with the laws of Simcha and some of the laws of Shivas Yomei Mishnah and so forth and so on. So if you can ask this scholar anywhere, you know, and even in Masechta Kala, and he knows how to answer you, then you know that he's the real McCoy. He's the real deal, and we can appoint him as the leader over the community. What about a scholar who is dedicated 24/7 to his learning and he doesn't have the ability to put bread on his table, and the city, because he is nourishing the city spiritually, they have to nourish him physically? He's a Talmud Chacham who is not occupied with getting money and making a living. The Osek Bechefzi Shemayim. And he's there to study the Torah, and he also will be available, hopefully, to serve his community, and therefore we have to support him. We only have to support him to make sure that he doesn't have to go out and eke out a living to get bread on the table. But as far as luxury items are concerned, beyond that, that we're not required to do. We can ask him a question and he knows how to answer it. He's called a Talmud Chacham. So why is Rabbi Yochanan saying this? Why are we testing this Talmud Chacham to see if he can answer any question? And the answer is Lamani Parnas Alatzibur, to appoint him as a leader of his community. If you ask him in the Masechta that he's studying now and he can answer your question, then Be'asrei, then we'll appoint him as a leader in this location. He's on one level. But ibe kule tenuye, if he reaches the level that you can ask him a question, not just from that which he's learning now, but from anywhere, and he can give you the answer without hesitating, is bereish mesifta, then he's the Rosh Shiva, he's the head of the entire Jewish Torah leadership community. Now, getting back to the question about a stain on a garment, and we said before that according to Rabbi Yossi, in the case of Banoim, there's a chatzitza, even if it can be, even if the stain is only visible on one side. Now the Gemara gives another alternative interpretation of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omar, what is Banoim? Elu Kalim Ha'ol Yorin. Now what happened was, you have the people in charge of the bathhouse. They were called Balonim. We discussed them at great length in Perkira. They ran the Beis HaMerchatz. And they would import some very fancy garments in order to, you know, for the rich people who came to the Beis HaMerchatz. It was a kind of a towel or maybe a bathrobe, but it was on a very high level. And they are called the Banoim. Haboim mimedina sayam, and they, as we said before, they import from abroad these very fancy articles of clothing, and this kind of clothing was very special. It would also absorb the sweat of a person who came out of the Beis HaMerchatz in the sauna and so forth and so on. And since it was given to the Anoshim Chashuvim, the Balonim have to be very careful that there should not be any stains on these very fancy begodim that were import. And therefore, even if the stain is only visible on one side, that's called the Banoim. There, Rabbi Yossi says, it's a chatzitza, the makbid, and the tefillah is not going to be valid. Lememra dechivari ninu. The Gemara is assuming that these imported garments must be white, because otherwise the stain is not visible. And is that really true? Va'amar lohu Rabbi Yanai lebonov. Rabbi Yanai, as in his older years, when he came towards the end, so he instructed his children about the tachrichim, the garments and the shrouds after his death. Al tikburuni lo bekelim levanim lo bekelim shchorim. Don't bury me neither in white clothing nor in black clothing. Apparently the white clothing are appropriate for the tzaddikim, the righteous, and the black are for those who go to the other place, you know, not to heaven. So levanim, don't bury me in white clothing, shemalo ezkep, perhaps I won't go into Gan Eden. Imagine, this is Rabbi Yanai, one of the Amoraim, who's telling me maybe he won't go to Gan Eden, he's going to go to the other place. V'eye kechasan bein avel, I'll look like a chasan amongst those who are sitting shiva. You know, the avelim wore black, and the chasanim wore white. So, you know, I'm going to look really, really odd. You know, if you give me a white garment, which is appropriate for the righteous, and I end up in the other place where they're all wearing black shrouds. Shchorim, don't bury me in black. Shema Ezke, maybe in fact I'll merit to go into the good place, to paradise. And ve'eya ke'avel bein hachasanim. You know, if you're going to give me black shrouds, I'm going to be the only one in black. Everyone else is wearing white. Ela, but rather bekelim ha'ol yorin. Now that's the same word the Reish Lakish used for a stain, and obviously it meant white, but here it certainly doesn't need white, because Rav Yanai is instructing his children not to bury him in white, but rather in clothing that are al yarin, haboy mimedina sayam, these imported garments, alma sumke ninu. Sumke means red, in other words, they're not black and they're not white. So how do you reconcile that with the statement of Reish Lakish? Lokasha habiglimi habilavushe. Now is that what you heard from Yanai, that these are all yorin are red? He's talking about a glima, right? That's the outer garment, and that's a little bit reddish, and that's how they should bury him. But habilavushe, when you're talking about the way that you launder clothing, you know, to make sure they're absolutely stainless for the chashuvim in the Beis HaMerchatz, then it has to be like Reish Lakish says, levonim, it's white garments. And that's the inner garment below the outer garment. Okay, now we get to our main topic for today, the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. This was recorded in the Mishnah that we're studying now. And the Mishnah records that Rabbi Shmuel understood that things that are related to Yom HaKippurim are able to prepare for Shabbos. Let's say Yom HaKippurim falls out, for example, on a Friday. And Rabbi Shmuel is going to allow you to prepare on Friday, on Yom Kippur, let's say the beds and so on, for Shabbos. In other words, and again, we're going to get back to this over and over again, Rabbi Shmuel puts Shabbos on a higher level of Kedusha than Yom HaKippurim. This despite the fact that Yom HaKippurim is called by the Torah Shabbos Shabboson. And Rabbi Akiva is going to put Yom HaKippurim on a very high level, at least equal to that of Shabbos, but not Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was studying now. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel was of the opinion that if there were some fats, chelev, that were burnt on the Mizbeach on Yom HaKippurim, but they weren't totally burnt, we could finish burning them. You could do the continuous haktorah, the eshal of the Mizbeach, to burn those fats on Shabbos. In a case where Yom HaKippurim is on a Friday, and the chelev was not completely burnt, we're going to continue that process on Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva says, no. That if you have chelev of Shabbos that was left over for Sunday, in a case where Yom Kippur is on a Sunday, or chelev of Yom HaKippurim on Friday that was left over for Shabbos, then we're not going to burn it on the Mizbeach. Neither from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, or vice versa. Again, we're going to get into this as we go along. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa. The Braisa now is going to present Rabbi Shmuel's derivation. From whence does Rabbi Shmuel know that if you have fats that weren't burnt on Friday on Yom Kippur, you can continue that process and complete it on Shabbos? In Parshas Pinchas, we'll get to Mirtz Hashem very soon, in the Kriya, we have the Korban Musaf. And the Parsha of Musaf, it says, Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato. Now, the Torah could have said, Olas Shabbos B'Shabbos, that the Korban Ola of Shabbos is burnt on Shabbos, but it says B'Shabbato with an extra Vav. And from this extra Vav, we're going to learn that if there's leftover from Shabbos, we'll be able to continue burning it in the future on another Shabbos. We'll see exactly what that means as we go along, but just right now, Mutal HaHaktir, Ola Shabbos Achas B'Shabbos Acheres. Again, in a vague sense, you could be Maktir, whatever Chelev wasn't, the Chalovim and the Avarim, that whatever wasn't burnt on Shabbos, on another Shabbos. Very vague. What does it mean on another Shabbos? Comes along Rabbi Shmuel and he says, you know what it's referring to? It's referring to a case where Yom Kippur is on a Sunday and he's got leftover chalov and vevarim that weren't burnt on the Mizbeach on Shabbos the day before, and he could burn them on Yom HaKippurim. That's called Shabbos Acheres. That's another Shabbos. That's Rabbi Shmuel's other Shabbos. Limeid al chelvei Shabbos shekrevim b'Yom HaKippurim. So let's say, for example, the haktoras hachalovim was usually done at night. If during the day of Shabbos they didn't get a chance to burn Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato, the Ola of Shabbos, then that night, which is Yom HaKippurim, that's called Midri night, they're going to burn it on the Mizbeach. Yochel, I might think, Af shel Yom HaKippurim b'Shabbos. Okay, I understand that Rabbi Shmuel, and again Rabbi Akiva is not going to tolerate this, but Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that that Yom HaKippurim is on a lower level than Shabbos, and therefore I can, so to speak, override Yom Kippur for the sake of a Karmon, in this case Chalovim of Shabbos. But don't switch it the other way around. It's not true, and he's going to derive this from a Pasuk, that if you have the Chalovim of Yom HaKippurim, that's on a Friday, and you're allowed to burn them on Shabbos. No. You could take the chalavim of Shabbos and burn them on Motzei Shabbos, which is Leil Yom HaKippurim, in a case where Yom Kippur falls on a Sunday. And that's because we're going, so to speak, from a higher level of Kedusha to a lower level of Kedusha. But the other way, the reverse is not true. And if you have chalavim from a Friday Yom Kippur, you cannot burn them if they were left over on Shabbos. Talmud Lomar, this we derive from the word b'shabbato. The Torah adds the extra vav. So if it just said Ola Shabbos b'shabbos without the extra vav, that would teach us that from one Shabbos to another Shabbos, which means from Shabbos to Motzei Shabbos, in this case Yom Kippur, that's called another Shabbos, that you're allowed to be maktir. But now there's a vav. It says b'shabbato. The vav is a mute. It's an exclusion. And it's coming to tell us that in a case where you have a Yom HaKippurim on a Friday situation, you're not going to burn those chalavim on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he has a different way of interpreting the Pesukim. Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato, limed al chelve Shabbos shekrevim b'yontif. Not the way Rabbi Shmuel said that if you have a Friday Yom Kippur, you can burn those chalavim. I'm sorry. That if you have a Sunday Yom Kippur, you could burn the chalavim of Shabbos on Motzi Shabbos on Sunday for Yom Kippur, but rather that if you have a Sunday Yontif, not Yom Kippur, but one of the Shalosh Regolim, then you're allowed to burn the leftover chalavim of Shabbos on Motzi Shabbos on Yontif. Yochalam, I think, af b'Yom HaKippurim, even if Sunday is Yom Kippur, I can burn the leftover of Shabbos, the spillover, on Yom HaKippurim. Tamalom b'Shabbato, the extra vav, which even Rabbi Shmuel understood was a miut, but Rabbi Shmuel understood it was a miut from Shabbos to Yom HaKippur. He's understanding it's a miut from Shabbos, right? In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, you might think that if Sunday is not a yontif, but even if it's Yom HaKippurim, I'm going to allow to burn the Shabbos karbonos, the chlovim, on Yom HaKippurim. No. So basically what Rabbi Akiva is doing is he's upgrading the level of Yom Kippur to that of Shabbos as the same level. And you can't, we can't allow Akhtara from Shabbos to Yom HaKippurim, certainly not from Yom HaKippurim to Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel would say that you're allowed to be maktir from Yom HaKippurim to Shabbos, but not from Shabbos to Yom HaKippur. So Rabbi Kiva is the one who equates them. Kishetim Tzi Lomar. If you're going to be careful about this machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and try to get down to the root of the machlokas, you might find that L'divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Nidarim u'Nidavos Kravim b'Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Shmuel holds, according to one opinion in Masechta Beitza, that you're allowed to be makriv nedarim and nedavas on yontif, even though technically speaking it's a neder, a nedava, you took a personal vow, there's no need, there's no urgent need to be makriv it on yontif, and you could postpone it, and nevertheless, even though you could postpone it, we're going to allow you to be makrivit on yontif. In other words, zrizim akdimim. We want you to be able to get the first opportunity that you can, and we're going to allow you, again, this is one sheet in the Tanoim and Beitza, we're going to allow you to be makriv nidorim and nidavis, voluntary karbonos, on yontif. The other man, the Omer, says, no, we can only be matir those karbonos that zmanon be yontif, that the time for that karbon is yontif. Now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that you're allowed to bring the Dharma and the Dovis on yontif, then how much more so are you allowed to bring, let's say, Chelvei Shabbos on yontif? I mean, Chelvei Shabbos is much more of a chovah than Nidarim and Nidavas. So therefore, if on Shabbos you didn't get a chance to be Maktir the Chelev, then you're allowed to be Maktir it on Sunday, correct? then I don't have to tell you, I don't need a pasuk to tell you that if Sunday is Yontif, you're allowed to be Maktir. I mean, even in Darim Nidavas, you're allowed to be Maktir on Yontif. How much more so a Karban Chovo, which is a Shabbos Karban, for sure you could makriv it on Sunday. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, we don't have any need for a pasuk to teach me that you're allowed to be makriv the leftover chalavim of Shabbos on Yontif. And therefore, what do we do with the pasuk? And the Gemara says, Ki itzrich krol yom ha-kipurit. Rabbi Shmuel, therefore, when he has this pasuk, Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato, and he doesn't know what to do with this pasuk, you can't be telling me that you bring the leftover of Shabbos on Yontif, because that goes without saying. I don't need a pasuk for that. It must be telling me that you can be makriv the leftover Shabbos chalavim on Yom HaKippurim. However, l'diri Rabbi Akiva, nedarim nedavos ein kraven b'yontif. Rabbi Akiva holds that you're only allowed to be makriv on Yontif a karban chova, but not a karban nedava, which is voluntary. So therefore, v'chi yitzur kra l'mishrei b'yontif. Now I need a pasuk to tell me that you could be makdir leftover Shabbos chalovim on Sunday, which is Yontif, because I wouldn't have known that you're allowed to do that. But again, we're going to always take the lesser of chidushim, and we don't know anything about a case where Sunday is Yom Kippur, according to Rabbi Akiva. What we do know is that if Sunday is Yontif, then you could be makdir the leftover Shabbos. Now, earlier, in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, we had a brisa that addressed the question of Erev Shabbos. And there was a whole system, if you recall, of tkios. They used to blow the shofar on Erev Shabbos to tell the people that it's time to separate between Chol and Shabbos, because Shabbos is entering and we have to cease our malach. Then there was a Mishnah in Masechta Chulin that if Yontif is on Erev Shabbos, then they would blow the shofar right before Shabbos. And the reason for that is because there are a bunch of malachos, which are called ochel nefesh for food, that are permissible on Yontif and they're prohibited on Shabbos. So we had to blow the shofar even on Yontif on Friday, in order to separate the people from Melechas Ochel Nefesh going into Shabbos. Furthermore, the Rabbanim made a takana that on Motzi Shabbos, when you recite Havdalah, and we have to recite Havdalah on Motzi Shabbos, and on Motzi Yontif, likewise, we recite Havdalah. Now, what happens in a case where Friday is Yom HaKippurim? Now, are we going to blow the shofar or not? On the one hand, we're going from Yom HaKippurim into Shabbos, and therefore we should be blowing the shofar. And that's what we would do if Friday was Yontif. But on the other hand, Yontif has a heter ochel nefesh. And in the case of Yom HaKippurim, all the malachas that are prohibited on Shabbos are prohibited likewise on Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara now wants to analyze that this question of whether we should blow the shofar on Yom Kippur going into Shabbos, if Yom Kippur is on a Friday, might depend upon the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Omer Rabbi Zera, and here we turn to Daf Kuf Yudalid Amid Beis. Ki Avina BeBavel, when I was studying in Bavel before I came to Eretz Yisrael, Havi Amri, we used to say Hadesanya. What we learned in a brisa that Yom HaKippurim shechal lios be'erev Shabbos lo hayu tokim. So if Yom Kippur fell on a Friday, they would not blow the shofar. There was no need to be mavdil ben kodesh l'chol, because basically Yom HaKippurim has a kedusha Shabbos. Anything that's also on Shabbos is also on Yom Kippur. Ubemotzei Shabbos lo hayu mavdilim. If Yom HaKippurim was on a Saturday night, Sunday, then there was no need to be mavdil, because anything that was prohibited on Shabbos continues to be prohibited on Yom HaKippurim. Whereas if Yontif, a regular Yontif, would fall on Saturday night, Sunday, we would be mavdil, because now we're going to allow malachos which are ochel nefesh. And divrei hakol, in other words, when I was back in Babel, it never occurred to me that maybe this issue should be dependent on the machlokus between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. But when I went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechase li Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, di Yosef v'ka'amar, and I met with Yehuda, and he said that Rabbi Akiva he. In other words, that brisa that says that if Yom HaKippurim is on a Friday, they wouldn't blow the shofar going into Shabbos, that reflects the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva holds that Chelvei Shabbos ain't craven b'Yom HaKippurim, and therefore there's no kula in Yom HaKippurim that would apply to Shabbos. In other words, the level of Kedusha and the Surim of Yom HaKippurim and Shabbos are exactly identical. So there's no point to blow the shofar on Friday of Yom Kippur, because that shofar is meant to separate between a Kedusha Kala, with a Kuf, right, and a Kedusha Chamura. But to E Rabbi Shmuel, if we're going like Rabbi Shmuel, then he would have to blow the shofar on Erev Shabbos of Yom when it's Yom HaKippurim. Why came in the Omer Chelvei Shabbos Kravim be Yom HaKippurim? Then if you have a leftover Chelev, you would, from Shabbos, you would burn it on the Mizbech on Yom Kippur, meaning that Yom HaKippurim is a lower level of Kedusha, and Shabbos relative to Yom HaKippurim is a Kedusha Chamura, is Litka, we should blow on Yom Kippur on a Friday, to tell the Kohanim that they shouldn't, if there's any leftover chelev on Yom Kippur, right, they shouldn't be makrivit on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a higher level of Kedusha. Ki hechi de lehevi yadi, so it be public knowledge, the Chelvei Shabbos kravim be Yom HaKippurim. That means that if you have leftover from Shabbos, you can burn it on Yom Kippur, but not the reverse. That Yom HaKippurim, if you have leftover, you can't burn it on Shabbos. And therefore that tekiya would be appropriate to separate between a Kedusha Kala and a Kedusha Chamura. Again, this is all relevant just to the Kohanim. V'amina le'ana, and Rabbi Zera says that even though I heard this when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I disagreed. And I told Yehuda that Kohanim Zrizimim, if the entire purpose of this Tekiah is just to notify the Kohanim that they shouldn't take the leftover Yom Kippur Friday Chalovim and burn them on the Mizbeach on Shabbos, then Kohanim Zrizimim, we don't need to notify the Kohanim. They know exactly what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. And then the Gemara raised a question on Rabbi Zera. Omale Mark Shisha Breid Rav Chizdol Rabbi Ashi. Mi Amrina, do we say Kohanim Zrizimim that you don't need a tekiya of the shofar to notify the Kohanim? Is that really true? Vatnan, we have a Mishnah Masechta Sukkah. The Mishnah goes through the numbers of tekiyos that they used to blow in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah says, "Ein poksim mi esrim v'achas tekiyos b'migdash," that the minimum amount of tekiyos that they blew was 21. And the Tana, that Mishnah goes through enumerating each one of the tekiyos that they blew on a daily basis for the Seder ha'avodah, to tell you what they're up to in the sequence of the avodah. And it says over there that on Erev Shabbos they would add an additional 6 tekiyos. And why? Shalosh lahavtil es ha'omi malacha, right? 3 in order to notify the people that it's time to desist from malacha. V'shalosh lahavtil ben kodesh l'chol, meaning that now it's kedusha sayom. Now these tekiyos were going on in the Mishnah Sukkah on in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's only relevant to the Kohanim. So you see that we're not going to apply the principle of Kohanim's Rizimheim, and therefore do away with the tekiyos. So that which Reb Zera pointed out, that this whole discussion about tekiyos on Erev Shabbos, when it's Yom HaKippurim for the sake of the Kohanim, and Reb Zera said, no, the Kohanim don't need it, that's not really true. So Rav Ashi comes back to defend, and he says, Kida Omra Abaye, We have something in Abaye. This is a Gemara in Masechta Yoma on Daf Lamed Zayin. The Mishnah there tells us that Hileni HaMalka created a special golden menorah, and she left it on a very high place at the entrance into the Heichal, the Holy of Holies, in the Beis HaMikdash. And when the sun would rise, it would apparently reflect off this golden menorah. And that's how they knew that it was time for Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, that the sun had already had arisen on the horizon. So the Gemara there asked, wait a minute, the Kohanim, who were involved in the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they would not read Kriyat Shema at the time of Zricha when the sun rose. They used to read it way before the sun rose, B'tchilas HaYom. And that's because they didn't want to get involved in the Avodah. Once they would get preoccupied with the Avodah, they might not have time to read Kriyat Shema. So therefore, this beautiful menorah doesn't seem to help anybody. And Abaye answered, no. L'shar Amah D'Yerushalayim. There were other members of Klal Yisrael that used to come into the Azara. Again, you have to know exactly where a non-Kohen is allowed to enter. And we're assuming right now that he's allowed to enter into the Azor. And he would do so for the purpose of Tefillah. And he used to daven. There was a whole group of people who used to daven in the Azor. It's like today people go to the Kosel, right? And we have to notify them that it's time for Kriyat Shema. And if that be the case, says Rav Ashi, let's apply the same logic over here to the Tekios on Erev Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. L'shar Amad Yushalayim. It wasn't for the purpose of the Kohanim. Rav Zeir is right. Kohanim has reason. They're meticulous. You don't have to notify the Kohanim and scare them. But the other people that came into the Azara, we have to notify them that, it's time to finish up on Avchol and enter into Shabbos. Now, the next part of our sugya is going to analyze that even though there's a general rule that which is also on Shabbos, whether it's Min HaTorah, Min Rabbanon, is prohibited on Yom Kippur as well. But nevertheless, there was certain heterim, certain relaxation of the laws with regard to Yom Kippur at the end, towards the end of the fast. That's called Min HaMincha L'mala, and that's called Knivas Yerek, that you were allowed to take a vegetables and cut off the leaves of the Yerek in order to prepare so that immediately after Yom HaKippurim there would be food to eat. People were very, very hungry, famished. And even though, in effect, he is now preparing from Yom Kippur to Chol, a regular Yom Kippur, which is something that's rabbinically prohibited, nevertheless, they allowed it. So the Gemara is going to ask, on the brisa that we had earlier, whether it's Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, the liska, we should be blowing on Yom Kippur on Friday. Why? Ki hechi delide deshari b'knivas yerek min hamincha l'mala. That we have to notify the public that Yom Kippur is a kedusha kala on a low level in Shabbos, and that was the whole purpose of the Tekiah Shofar, because as far as this halacha of allowing cutting off what's called Knivas HaYerek Min HaMincha L'mala on at the end of Yom HaKippurim, and that's a separate kula that only exists with regard to Yom Kippur, that we're going to prepare for after Yom Kippur, and we're going to take off the olive. And again, since we're going straight into Shabbos, the only time he's going to be able to cook these vegetables would be after Shabbos. But in any event, he is preparing from Yom Kippur to Chol, and that's because of the suffering and the Agmas Nefesh of fasting. And therefore, the Gemara wants to know, that should itself should justify a Tekiah, because we never found any heter on Shabbos to prepare for Chol. So that tekiah should be transmitting a message, a clear message, that in this regard to Knivas HaYerek, there's a kula of hachana mi yom kippurim l'chol. It doesn't apply; has no parallel in Shabbos. Amar Rav Yosef, l'fisha ein dochin shvus lahatir. In other words, basically, when you're notifying the people by blowing shofar min a mincha l'mala on Yom Kippur, that they're allowed to do kniva sayerek. That's really the practical difference. Well, we don't blow a shofar on Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, we blow shofar, not on Yom Kippur. That's called a shvus. And the Rabbanan prohibited blowing the shofar. So now you're going to allow him to blow the shofar, which is violating a shvus on Yom Kippur, for the sake of notifying him that he's allowed to start cutting up the erek, the olim for the erek. That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, the Rav Yosef answers, there's no justification for blowing shofar min a mincha l'mala on Yom Kippur. V'Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi Omar Shvus Krova Hitiru Shvus Rechoka Lo Hitiru. They would relax the law as far as blowing the shofar, even though it's a violation of an Isa Shvus, because they have a Toelis, there's a purpose of that immediately, right? Immediately now's the time to do the Kniva Sayerik. But Shvus Rechoka Lo Hitiru. No, they're not going to be mati, they're not going to allow you to blow the shofar to violate an Isa Shvus if the only benefit they're going to get from that is down the line. And therefore, we could override the Shvus of Tkiah in order to be Modia Heter, but only if there's an immediate Heter right now. But let's say, for example, you have a case of Yom HaKippur on a Friday. So you want to be mati the shvus of blowing shofar on a Friday. Well, when are they going to benefit from this? Not on Shabbos, because you can't cook the vegetables on Shabbos. It's only Motzei Shabbos. So the Gemara asks the kashu shvus krova itiru. Are we allowed to be mati a shvus for something that's relevant of a heta immediately? Vatanan, we have a mission in Chulin. Yontif shechalios erev Shabbos. So we have now a yontif on a Friday. Tokim. We're going to blow the shofar to tell the people that we're entering into Shabbos and we have to desist from Meleches Ochel Nefesh. The Lomav Dilin. But if, let's say, we get to Motzei Yontif and just one second. Right, it's Motzei Yontif and we're entering into Shabbos. Lomav Dilin. Right, on Motzei Yontif, we're not going to make Avdola, not in Tefillah, not on a Kos, like we do on Erev, every Motzei Yom Tov, because there's no Avdola on Yetzias Hayom when you're going into a greater Kedusha. You're going from a Kedusha Kala into a Kedusha Chamura. We don't make Avdola in such a case. However, if Yontif is on a Sunday, Motzei Shabbos Mavdilin, then we will make Havdalah, whether it's in Mairiv or Alakos, Hamavdu Ben Kodesh LeKodesh, because we're going from a Kedusha Chamur of Shabbos into a Kedusha Kala. Velo Tokim. But in such a case, when Shabbos is on Erev Yontif, then we do not blow the shofar. Why? Because we're going from Shabbos, which is a Kedusha Chamura, into Yontif. And on Shabbos, we don't have any Heter Melacha, whereas on Yontif we do. So if we go like Rav Shisha, Braid Rav Idi, that they were matir to be Tokea, in order to tell people that in the Zman Karov, immediately, we have a certain Heter, even though the Tekiah is coming to be Modia Heter, is Ramai Liska. When it gets dark, on a case where Yontif is on a Motzi Shabbos Sunday, they should be blowing the shofar, Ki Echi Deledi Deshari V'Shkita Lialta, that all Meleches Ochel Nefesh, including Shkita, is now Mutter. Elamachvar Tokir Rav Yosef. Therefore, we want to go back to the answer of Rav Yosef, that we don't blow on Yontif in order to be Modia Heter, even if it's Karov, even if it's immediate. Now, once the Gemara mentioned that there's a Tekiah to be Modia Heter for Kniva Asayerek on Yom HaKippurim, the Gemara wants to know what happens if Yom HaKippurim is on Shabbos, coincides with Shabbos. Om Rav Zeira, Om Rav Huna, V'Yamri Lei, Om Rabbi Abba, Om Rav Huna. even though Yom HaKippurim, when it's Chal on Chol, they were Matir Kniva Sayerek, but Yom HaKippurim Shchalios B'Shabbos also B'Kniva Sayerek. Because even though they were Matir Tircha on Yom Kippur for Motzi Yom Kippur, but they weren't Matir anything on Shabbos for Motzi Shabbos. And it means that the Chacham are not going to be Matir this Isur being Torech B'Shabbos for Motzi Shabbos just because of the Inui and the suffering of Yom HaKippur. Amar Rav Mana, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, like Rav Huna, to support Rav Huna, Minayli Yom HaKippurim Shechal Lios B'Shabbos Sha'asu B'Kniva Sayerek, when Yom HaKippurim overlaps, with Shabbos, we don't allow Kniva Sayerek to prepare for Motzi Yom HaKippurim. Tavid Lomar, and this we derive from a Pasuk, Shabboson Shabbos Kodesh Sha'asu. And Shabboson means Shvos, that we should refrain from doing something, and this is a remez that we should be refraining from Kniva Sayerek. So Gemara clarifies what Rav Mana had in mind. Leman, what Kniva Sayerek is the Braisa deriving that it's Asur based on the word Shabboson? If he's talking about a case where the Yerek is attached to the ground and he's detaching it, I don't need a pasuk for that. Vaksiv, the Torah says, Lo sasako malacha. And he would be violating Melechas Ktsira if he could, El Olav. It must be that the Brice is referring to Kniva Sayerek, which is already detached, and he's not involved in any Melecha, and the Brice is telling me that the Torah prohibited, even though he would not be violating any Torah law, and it must be that this has a certain element of Tircha, like Kniva Sayerek, and you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So it's the double Shabboson over here, that it's also Yom HaKippurim, and it's also Shabbos. So the Chacham are not going to be Matir in Issur Torah in order to deal with this Agmas Nefesh situation and Yom HaKippurim and so forth and so on, because the Torah says you're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to Chol. Shma Minah. Therefore, we derive the conclusion that Kniva Sayerek is prohibited on Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom HaKippurim Shechalios B'Shabbos Mutar B'Kniva Sayerek. He disagrees with Rav Huna, and he says that I don't have this drasha Shabbos on Shavuos to prohibit Yigiyah or Tircha on Shabbos in this case where Shabbos coincides with Yom HaKippurim, and therefore he's going to allow Knivas Hayerek. And there are those who say, by the way, there's a whole discussion, that Knivas Hayerek is actually a kiyum of mitzvahs v'nisa. Because you're busy preparing the food, that intensifies your affliction, your state of affliction. Meisve, we have Akasha, the yeshiva, on Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin liyom HaKippurim shechalios b'shabbos sha'asu b'knivas Hayerek. So this is a Akasha on Rabbi Yochanan, and supports Rav Huna. Talmud Lomar Shabbos on Shavuos. Lamai, we go through the same logic again. Ilei melamalacha vaksiv lo sasako malacha. We don't need a pasuk for that. El alav Kniva Sayerek. And therefore, you see that Kniva Sayerek is prohibited on Shabbos if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos. The Gemara says, lo. The Gemara defends Rabbi Yochanan. Li olam limalacha. What the Bryce is referring to is malacha, that you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos Yom HaKippur. In other words, we're talking about Kniva Sayerek, that's mechubar. The lavar all of the essay, the losaseh. And the Torah wants to give you, in addition to the losaseh, losaseh kol malacha, the Torah wants to add Shabboson as a mitzvah aseh. But Kniva Sayerek, if it's already been detached, that's Rabbi Yochanan who says it's allowed even in the case of Yom HaKippurim Shechalios B'Shabbos. And finally, Tanya Kavosid Rav Yochanan, Yom HaKippurim Shechalios B'Shabbos, on the top of Kuftes Vav, Mutar B'Knivas Hayerek. And we're allowing Knivas Hayerek, as Rav Yochanan had said before, this Braisa supports Rav Yochanan. If the day of Yom HaKippurim overlaps with Shabbos, we're going to allow Knivas Hayerek. Nifatzim begozim, so you're allowed to break the outside peel of these walnuts in order to prepare them for eating.
umefakasin berimonim, and we're allowed to prepare the pomegranates for eating min hamincha lamala on Yom HaKippurim at the end of the day, mipnei agmas nefesh. And what we said was that min hamincha lamala, a person is waiting, he's desiring to eat, and when he's involved in preparing food and he's not allowed to eat it, that intensifies his inui. Anyway, we see this braisa supports Rabbi Yochanan, as we said, that even when Yom HaKippurim overlaps with Shabbos, there's a heter of knivas hayerek min hamincha lamala. Now the Gemara brings a question of a ketzad, how you could implement this tikkun of ochlin on Yom HaKippurim. Debei Rabbi Yehuda mekanve krova, in the house of Rabbi Yehuda, they used to cut up the kreit, you know, the cabbage, and that's how they prepared it for achilu. Debei Rabba Gardi Kari, in Rabba's house, they used to cut up gourds, and came into Chazad Havika mecharfe, when they saw, and Rabba saw that his members of the household were beginning to cut up these dluim a little bit too early before mincha, and that's against the din, and any tikkuni ochel you're not allowed to do before mincha lamala, it's only after mincha lamala. Omlehu, Rabba said to the members of his household, Asa igartu mimarova mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan di Asar. We got a letter that came from Eretz Yisrael, and it said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that we're not allowed to be misakin ochlin on Yom HaKippurim at all, even after Shas HaMincha. So Rabba told them something, even though Rabbi Yochanan never said such a thing, because if he would have told them that he himself asked it, they wouldn't have paid any attention to him. So to dramatize it, he mentioned in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hadron, Olecha, Perek, V'elu, K'sharim, and Amir Tzashem. Tomorrow here on Daf Kuf Tes Vav, we will begin to study the 16th Perek, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh.